Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
It is a beautiful day. I'm at the Jordan River, where two major things happened. Joshua crossed the Jordan River with the children of Israel in this vicinity, somewhere within about a mile of here, possibly even directly behind me. This has also been designated as the site where John the Baptist baptized Jesus. One of my Arab friends was just telling me that there is a cave which is located directly off of my shoulder here, which is called the Cave of John the Baptist, where priests and individuals who separate themselves in the wilderness for fasting and prayer have gone for over 1,000 years in this cave to spend 2 or 3 weeks fasting and praying. There is a significant event, though, that happened not far from here that I must tell you about. It's called the altar called Ed. And in your Bible, it's spelled E-D. It looks like Ed. We would say in the South, an altar called Ed. There was an altar that was built here that caused a huge controversy. And there are some lessons to be learned from that altar related to the way that people are ignoring the altar of God, not only in North America, but sometimes throughout the world. Most churches used to have a place they called the altar where people would come to repent of their sins, where they would come to seek God or ask for special prayer. You don't have that as much anymore as you used to. As a matter of fact, a lot of churches that we go to, and these are good churches and good people, a lot of times people are taken to a separate room where they're prayed for and they're given literature and the information is collected, which is good, especially for follow-up, and I'm for that. But I'm telling you, there's something about the visitation at the altar. So I've got to tell you this story, and I want you to follow with me because some of you have never heard about the altar called Ed. And I'm pronouncing it from the Hebrew perspective, Ed and not Ed, the way we would read it in the South. Here's the verse of scripture that indicates Joshua 22, verse 34 about this altar. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. So let me take you through the story. Now, the children of Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua was taking the younger generation and crossing the Jordan River. However, there were 2.5 tribes that really liked the view of the land on this side of the Jordan. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite side of the Promised Land, crossing the Jordan River, and it is this entire area that runs for many, many, many miles, all the way up into the area of Gilead, all the way up into the area of the tribe of Gad. And now the tribes were Reuben, the children of Gad, and also a half of Manasseh. So there's 2.5 tribes, Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh, who say, we want to take the land on the east side of the Jordan River instead of crossing the Jordan into the west side. Now, Joshua and Moses both had wisdom on how to deal with these people, and he knew that if 2.5 tribes, which represent hundreds of thousands of men, did not come and fight the battles of the Promised Land, 31 Canaanite cities that God wanted them to take and conquer to inherit the land, he knew that 9.5 tribes that were fighting the battle could become very discouraged. So he said to them, after you fight the battle, after we take the territory, after we conquer the land, we will let you then settle on this side of the Jordan River. 2.5 tribes settled on this side, and the Jordan River was their border. Now, here's what they did that caused a huge controversy that relates to the verse I just read to you. What happened was those 2.5 tribes were far away from the tabernacle of Moses, because the tabernacle of Moses was in the area of Shiloh, or we call it Shiloh, and it was pitched there, and that's where they would come up during the festivals. There were 3 times a year, Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, where all the men were supposed to gather together, bring their sacrifices. And when the Temple of Solomon was built, this also occurred in the city of Jerusalem. So these tribes are actually far away from the presence of the Lord. So what they do is they build their own altar. Now, I don't know how large this was, but it could be seen for miles. So the 2.5 tribes on this side built an altar, and they named the altar Ed. And again, in the English language, in your King James translation, it is spelt with an E and a D. Now, this stirred up the priests that were over the tabernacle, and it stirred up all the 9.5 tribes, and this is what happened. They literally thought about, 9.5 tribes thought about going to war against half of the tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, because they thought that they were copying the altar that was at the tabernacle of Moses, which was the original altar that God told Moses to build. And you weren't to duplicate any of the furniture because you didn't want to split the worship up. There was only one location where you were to worship God. So the priest and the people got together and they demanded to know, why have you built an altar at the border of the promised land, not far from the Jordan River? Because you are going to disobey God, and it's going to lead to 2.5 tribes never coming to Passover, never coming to Pentecost, never coming to the Festival of Tabernacles, and never coming up to worship God as a unit the way God instructed Moses in the Torah. Well, basically, here's what they said. Well, we're far away from the tabernacle. We're far away from the sacred furniture, but we wanted to build an altar so that we could remind our children of how God brought us this way and how it was in this area we crossed the Jordan River. And in this area, we tell our children the story. So the tribes, the other 9.5 tribes that were on the east side of the Jordan, went ahead and said, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Just don't offer a sacrifice on this altar. Let it be only a memory. Let it only be a memorial of what God has done. Now, I read this scripture several months ago, and I came to the conclusion that there are some lessons to be found here. First of all, pay attention. The actual promised land promised to the children of Israel. Here's the Jordan River. It's right behind these bushes here. It's flowing right here. People are being baptized. The Jordan River is the border between Edom, Moab, and Ammon, all right? And when you cross the Jordan River, you come into the promised land where all 12 tribes were supposed to get an inheritance, watch this, on the east side of the Jordan River. However, notice the theme. Now, I want to give you several nuggets that I've written down here. Number one, 2.5 tribes are short of the promise of God. They are short of the promised land, and yet they are content where they are, being short of the promises. Number two, they are living on this side of the Jordan River, surrounded by Amorites and all these other ites. There are 7 ites mentioned in the Bible. You have the Moabites and the Amorites, and you had, all these different tribes that are on this side, and they're content. Now watch this. Mixing their ideas and their beliefs in with people that are pagan. As a matter of fact, not far from here in the South, we actually one time were visiting a place in which it was set up like the temple in Jerusalem. It was a miniature temple. It wasn't the same size, but it had an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And guess what? There were two altars that were in this holy place, in this temple, and one had a carving in the stone that said, the altar to the wife of Yahweh. It was an idol god. And the other one was the altar to Yahweh. So what they did, they had an altar to Yahweh, which is one of the Hebrew names for God, the Yud, He, Vav, He, the four Hebrew letters that spell the sacred name of God. And they had that altar on one side, and they had an altar to Ashtaroth, who was the wife of Yahweh. No, that's not true. That's not biblical. That's pagan. But they had both of those altars at the entrance of the Holy of Holies in this temple. And I believe it's down in Erod, south of here. And so what they were doing is they were mixing beliefs with other people. So number one, they are content falling short of the presence of God. Number two, they are mixing their beliefs with other religions. And this is eventually what happened to Israel. This is why God said, you've got to remove the tribes, because their gods will be a snare to you. There'll be a thorn in your side and a scourge in your eyes. You do not want to intermingle your beliefs with other pagan systems. And then the third thing, and this is very important, you hear this, that they were living at the border. In other words, they weren't in the promised land, but they were close to it. They were not totally out of the area, but they were out of it far enough to be out of it. Now, you may say, what does that have to do with those of us living throughout the world who are Christians that attend a church occasionally, or maybe we have a home church, especially for those of you in North America? Because I focus a lot of my teaching on North America because of the spiritual condition that the United States is in right now, which is terrible compared to what it should be. Let me say this to you. This is what this represents. It represents people, watch this now, who are not totally in the things of God, but they're not totally out of the things of God. I call them borderline Christians. Now, here's what this means. Let's say the 2.5 tribes get in trouble with some of the tribes on the east side of the Jordan. Well, all they got to do is cross the Jordan River, and hey, they're over here on the Israeli side with the other 9.5 tribes to defend them and protect them. But let's just say they don't like what's going on with the 9.5 tribes over here. Then they can always hang out on the other side. You see, there are people who, instead of being all the way in with God, and even Jesus made this statement. He said, you are lukewarm. I would rather have you hot, or I would rather have you cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So there are too many people that are not all the way in, but yet they're not all the way out. And I'm going to say it this way. They're living on the borderline. They're not on fire for God, but they're not totally cold about the Lord. They don't necessarily read their Bible, but every now and then they'll read their Bible. They really don't go to church, because you know that the new survey is that Christians who call themselves Christians in America only go to church, you ready for this, 2 times out of the month. That's how many times the average Christian in America goes to church. And as a matter of fact, the average Christian in America now has 3 to 4 different churches that they attend. You know, it's like a Piccadilly cafe. You just go through the line and kind of pick what you want and what you don't want. And whatever mood you're in that Sunday, that's the particular church that you go to. So what I'm saying is that this messed up the commitment that the nine and a half tribes had, which was, here's the center of God. Here is the tabernacle. Here's where we worship. And they sort of did their own thing on the other side of the Jordan River. I'm going to show you the results of this in just a minute, of actually what happened. So in other words, if they're living with the pagan tribes, they can kind of mingle in with the pagans and be friendly with them, make friendships with the world, as the Bible says we shouldn't do. But then when they're on the Israeli side, they can act real spiritual and talk about the things of God. But then when they slip over here, they don't have to talk about the things of God, because they're with the Moabites and the Amorites and the Hittites and all these other ites that existed back then. Now, another thing that I want to tell you is this. This is very dangerous to live on the border where you're not all the way into the things of God. See, David found out a long time ago when he was at Ziklag that he had a situation that came up that he brought on himself. I'll tell you this real quick. When King Saul was chasing David, David was from the tribe of Judah. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin both were together in the same territory. In fact, coming from Jerusalem, we're in the tribe of Judah. Coming down to the Dead Sea, we come right directly into the tribe of Benjamin. So they were pretty much together as far as tribal land grants were concerned. So King Saul chases David, makes 21 attempts on his life. David gets totally weary of it and then goes to Ziklag, which is a Philistine city. The Philistines were not only enemies of Israel, enemies of Saul, but they had fought the Israelites for generations. And David had killed Goliath, who was a Philistine champion. But then he said, if Saul's going to kill me, I'm going to go to Ziklag. But here's the thing you got to understand about Ziklag. Ziklag is a border city, meaning that if David decides that the Philistines are chasing him, he'll jump the border and come to the tribe of Judah where people know him. But if Saul is chasing him in the area of Judah or Benjamin, then David can go over here and hang out with the Philistines at Ziklag, the enemies of God, because Saul is afraid of the Philistines. Now, folks, I just want to say something to you, because I see this more and more as things are going along in the United States, that people do not have the commitment to the Lord or the commitment to a local congregation that you should have. I do realize in the United States that there are places that maybe rural areas or cities in the West and Midwest that you've got to drive for hours to find an actual full gospel church that preaches the Word of God. I understand that. But my point is simply this. You can't be on the border and be of God one day and not of God the next day, and of God one week and not of God the next week. You can't get to the point where you are content falling short of the promises of God. The promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen, according to the Bible. But you can fall short of the promises of God because you get content in the spiritual condition that you're in. Now, here's the thing about this altar. I've got to tell you about this. First of all, when Joshua crossed the Jordan River, and he crossed right in this area where I am, somewhere in this vicinity, probably within a mile's range of this river, somewhere is where Joshua crossed with the children of Israel when the priest had the Ark of the Covenant upon them and their feet touched the water and the waters parted according to the Word of God. But notice this, three things happened. Number one, it tells you that after 40 years when Joshua crossed the river, that the pillar of cloud ceased and the fire by night stopped. Number two, it tells you that the manna ceased after 40 years of falling 6 days a week in the wilderness, the manna that they ate for 40 years suddenly ceased when they crossed the Jordan River. And number three, it tells us in the Bible that the Jordan River opened for Joshua and the children of Israel, but once they got over on this side of the river, then the waters closed back. Now, let me tell you what that represents. First of all, when the pillar of cloud ceased, it meant the glory had lifted, and now they're having to walk by utter faith and obedience to God without a visible cloud and a fire. Number two, when the manna ceased, the Bible said they had to go back and eat the corn of the land. They had to make their own food. See, there comes a time when you just tell everybody, you've been feeding me, you've been caring for me, I've been leaning on your word and your messages. Now I'm going to get my Bible out, I'm going to have my Bible study, and I'm going to learn on my own. The manna sometimes seems to cease or dry up because God is trying to tell us, get your own corn, get your own word, get your own insight. Pick up my book and read. You might crack the cover of that Bible and be shocked what you find out that it says and teaches. And the third thing is this, when the Jordan opened, it allowed them a path to come to the things of God, but it closed behind them so that they would not know the way back to Egypt. The river closed. The path was shut behind them because God did not want them going back to where they came from. He wanted them to move forward in their future. Now, this story about worshiping at the altar called Ed is very important, and I want to show you why. These people, the 2.5 tribes, were content where they were content being surrounded by the wrong type of people. They never used that altar for a sacrifice. They never worshiped at that altar. Basically, what this altar was a showpiece. Now, I'm going to ask you, have the altars in our churches simply become a place where we talk about what God used to do and we talk about the miracles that used to happen, or are they activated today to where the presence of God is working as people come together in the altar? Just something to think about. Now, here's the part that I want to get to. Many, many years later in the New Testament, in the land of the Gadarenes, and that was in this direction here near the Sea of Galilee, Jesus encountered a man that had 2,000 demonic spirits in him. And Jesus cast those 2,000 spirits out of that man. Now, I want to make a statement that I heard a man, in fact, it's a friend of mine, Jensen Franklin, say many years ago. He said that when you look at that, at the tribe of Gad, demons got comfortable where the tribe of Gad was, and the man of Gadara, you see that root word there, Gadara, the Gadarenes, the demons became comfortable in that area. But I want to tell you why the demons were comfortable in that area. Are you ready? Because the tribe of Gad was in one of those areas that was far away from the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you live far away from the presence of the Lord in your personal life, demon spirits get comfortable. And the only thing that shook up those spirits that caused that man to be delivered was when Jesus Christ showed up and stepped off of that boat. And when he stepped off of that boat, that man was completely healed and delivered by the power of God. And all of that happened in this area at this altar called Ed. So a couple things that I want to conclude with that are very, very significant and very, very important. First of all, it's these words that I want to tell you. When you're at the altar called Ed, you never fellowship with other people. You never offer a sacrifice. You never offer an offering. You never experience the glory of God at a corporate level. But here's what an altar is for. An altar is to bring your gifts to God to make offerings of all types. An altar is where you worship God. And this is all found in the New Testament. I'm not just in the Old Testament. This is found in the New Testament as well. And number three, the altar is a place of cleansing and forgiveness. So all these things, Jesus talked about bringing your gift and leaving it at the altar. Now back in that day, that was the temple, and the altar that existed at the temple where the animal sacrifices were made. But it's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of worship. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of the favor of God. It is a place. The altar is a place where you meet with God. It should never be as it was with the 2.5 tribes. It should never be a place of just a memory. They said, we're going to build it and make it a memorial, just a reminder of what God has done. We should never look at altars and say, you know, 50 years ago, here's what happened here. It's good to remember that. It's good to tell your children about it. But if it's not practical today, if the place of where you are meeting God is not practical today, where you're worshiping and sacrificing and you're ministering unto the Lord, well, ladies and gentlemen, it can cause great difficulty in your life somewhere down the road, because we have to have the presence of God. You know, there have been times in my life where God visited me at a certain time and a certain season, and He spoke to me. Maybe He spoke to me a word about how to start the Manifest telecast, February of 1988. Maybe it was in the year, late in 2000, probably somewhere around 7, that the Lord spoke to me to father a generation. He spoke to me to build the Omega Center International. And in those places, those spots, those prayer rooms, that chair that I'm sitting in at a house and hearing from God, those are places of a visitation. And every now and then, Abraham went back to an altar. Jacob would go back to Bethel, back to an altar. And there at the altar, they would receive a fresh revelation and visitation from God at the place where they originally encountered the presence of God. Years ago, a man told me a story of how he had a prayer place where God had actually healed him of cancer. He went out into this field, out on this farm under a tree, and he prayed and sought God, and God supernaturally visited him. And when the enemy would attack him, this man would go back to that original spot where God had originally touched him, and he would minister to the Lord and pray, and there he would receive a reviving and a refreshing from God. Ladies and gentlemen, let us never take the prayer time out of a service. Let us never take the altar calls out of a church service. And let us never take the possibility of praying for people at an altar. If you go to our conferences anywhere in the United States, we have altar calls where people are prayed for, because people in the audience need to feel the conviction and the power of God as well as those in the altar. And when you're ministering together, and remember, an altar is simply a meeting place between you and the Lord. Make an altar in your home. Have a place where you meet with Him. And let God bless you. Never worship at an altar called Ed. Amen? All right, I have a special manifest offer, and stay tuned for me to show you where we're going to be ministering in the days ahead. I want you to see and hear my most requested and my favorite teaching of all time, the Rapture Revelation. You can glean from 1,400 hours of detailed research on the subject of the rapture. This 5 DVD, that's 10 hours of teaching, unlocks this mystery. Digging deep into both testaments using Hebrew and Greek word studies, mysterious prophetic patterns, ancient Jewish customs, rabbinical insight, and early church writings to present a detailed explanation of the coming of the Lord for the church. The first DVD is titled The Rapture, A Revelation Revealed to the Apostle Paul. You will discover how this was revealed to Paul on Mount Sinai in Arabia. You will learn 8 different activities to occur at the rapture, and I will explain 8 different Greek words used in the New Testament that detail Christ's return. The second DVD is The Prophetic Timing of the Rapture. I will give you 8 examples of the righteous escaping wrath and 4 clues pointing to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. Learn how in the book of Revelation, the 24 elders, the 7 sealed book, and other imagery reveals a pre-tribulation return. I will also answer numerous controversial questions about the timing of Christ's return. The third DVD covers the subject of the rapture, Israel's feast and harvest cycles. You will discover how Israel's 7 festivals conceal amazing prophetic information about the rapture, the mystery of the shofar, how Israel's
yearly harvest cycles encode the pattern of the catching away. Discover 9 events that you will experience the moment Christ returns. Also, DVD number 4 is so exciting, The Rapture and the Mysterious Book of Remembrance. I will show you from Malachi 3, a key to going in the rapture is your name being in the Book of Remembrance. You will see how being an overcomer is different from a non-overcomer as it relates to the return of Christ for the church. You will see how the Feast of Trumpets is linked with the Book of Remembrance and how the rapture is designed as a special blessing to the believer. Now, not only that, but I've included a 5th DVD, The Reenactment of the Jewish Wedding, with 100 cast members using props and costumes, showing you not only the ancient Jewish wedding, but highlighting 14 keys of how the Jewish wedding points to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. These 5 DVDs and this beautiful album are for a donation of just $65 or more. Order by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. And ask for offer RA-137. Or order online at perrystone.org. You may also order by mail by writing me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Again, that offer request is RA-137. You will learn a lot, so don't delay. Get your DVDs now. Thank you for joining me. Now, you know, we're still offering the rapture teaching, the rapture revelation, but I want you to get this because there's so many rapture fighters and doubters, but this will explain why we believe in it. And I believe we can prove it from the Word of God, just from Bible. So please get this and look at it and have a great time in the Lord. That's what I'm hoping. And you'll learn something. We also want to take a few moments and say something to you. The coronavirus shut the world down. And the only other time that was done was in the days of Noah, when the entire world was under a flood. And we also started realizing, and I did this several months ago, actually back in the month of May, and I was at a place for a couple weeks, and I would wake up in the middle of the night, and it's like that I was getting a download that I had never thought of, and I started researching. And so I wrote a book that in a couple weeks you're going to see on Manifest called The Final Ciphers. And the people who have edited the book have said to me, they've never read such updated material that's right now. We did a whole coronavirus study in the viruses of the ancient Roman Empire. It's going to blow your mind. It's not out yet, but I want you to be looking for that because it's real interesting. Let me just say this real quick, that a couple years back, it was only people 55, 65, 75, around retirement age that would come to prophetic conferences that wanted to understand prophecy. But we have found out recently by ratings sources that we have an audience of 20 to 30 year olds that are following us with wanting to learn about prophecy. And it just thrills me. I'm so excited about this. And one of the things is they realize that something is about to happen. And they also know that we've been studying the subject for 45 years, so I don't want to call myself an expert on it, but I do believe that we know a lot about it. I don't want to, you know, point to me like I'm some specialist, but we're known in the United States and around the world as a prophetic minister who deals with these things. Now, one of the things that's helped us is we have seen things in visions that we would talk about that years later came to pass. I'm not going to rehash all that. But we are thankful to God that He lets us know. He does nothing till He first reveals it to someone. And then, the fact of a lot of people who call themselves prophets and prophetesses, and basically they're getting information from people behind the scenes and talking about it publicly, that's wrong. That's manipulation. But real people who are very prophetic, if it's the Holy Spirit, it doesn't miss. It will hit me on target. That's what my daddy always said. My daddy never missed one time, and that's a fact in all the things the Lord showed him. My time's up. I got to talk more about that later on in another program. So thank you for joining us. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshall, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.